If at first you don't succeed, try again, and SpaceX will. The FAA will re-examine pilot rest rules for cargo pilots. And glider pilots have a new national squawk beacon. This is Aero News from Monday, May 21st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A successful failure. That's how NASA ultimately categorized the Apollo 13 mission, and perhaps the same can be said of this weekend's activities at the Cape. SpaceX's planned launch of the Falcon 9 rocket, topped by its Dragon spacecraft, was spectacular in its failure. The launch was aborted mere nanoseconds before the holddowns let go, saving the rocket for yet another try. Even NASA's public affairs officer had completed his narrative 10-9-8 countdown and got as far as the much-anticipated liftoff, only to report, "We have a cutoff." In a post-launch news conference, SpaceX officials said a fuel-lean mixture caused the temperatures in engine number 5 to increase to the abort limit, and the computer software guiding the launch shut it down. Less than 10 minutes prior to the scheduled launch time, the International Space Station passed overhead at Cape Canaveral. It was to have been the target for this test of the Falcon 9 with its Dragon, a test to see if the system can deliver cargo into space. The next available launch window is tomorrow, Tuesday, May 22nd. The FAA has admitted that it has discovered errors in calculating the scope of cost associated with the implementation of new rest rule regulations for all cargo operations. In plain language, the FAA says it will re-examine the application of recently adopted pilot rest rules to determine if it was wrong when it excluded cargo pilots. The Independent Pilot Association, the union representing UPS pilots, is suing the FAA, claiming exactly that. The union wants there to be one level of safety for pilots, regardless of whether they are flying cargo or passengers. The FAA has promised to expedite its review. In a notice issued earlier this month, the FAA will now offer transponder code 1202 for glider pilots to squawk when not in contact with ATC. This new code will help controllers differentiate gliders, which have unique flight and maneuvering limitations, from other VFR traffic. The move comes from an NTSB recommendation following investigations into one accident and several incidents. The new code will not only help controllers to differentiate gliders from other VFR aircraft, but the FAA plans to educate controllers on the unique characteristics and flight limitations facing gliders. For example, gliders may go from essentially stationary targets while climbing and thermaling to moving targets very quickly. They can be expected to make radical changes in flight direction to find lift and cannot hold altitude in response to an ATC request. Southwest Airlines and the Transport Workers Union, TWU 550, representing the carrier's more than 180 dispatchers, has announced that the two parties have reached a tentative agreement. The tentative agreement is for a new 5-year contract through November 14th and will be presented to all Southwest dispatchers pending a final review and approval from the TWU 550 Board of Directors. The current contract became amenable in November 2009. Elsewhere on the union front, Reuters reports that labor relations appear to be deteriorating between management and the pilots at United Airlines. Last week, the pilots called for a strike vote over stalled contract talks. Such a vote is a preliminary procedural move, but it is indicative of the pilots' growing frustration and desire to get out of their post-9/11 bankruptcy-era contract that slashed average pay by 40%. The pilots have also recently launched their own website aimed at communicating their grievances to the flying public. That website, in a bit of over-the-top irony, is theunfriendlyskies.org. Meanwhile, the United Steelworkers Union is urging the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Transportation Security to expand advanced TSA screening programs used by pilots to airline flight deck and cabin crew members. In testimony submitted for the subcommittee hearing titled "Access Control Point Breaches at Our Nation's Airports, Anomalies or System Failures," USW International Vice President-at-Large Carol Landry said that expanding these advanced screening programs to airline flight deck and cabin crew members would grant them expedited access through screening checkpoints and make everyone safer. Landry says the problem is that the current limited versions of risk-based surveillance screening systems like Crew Pass and Known Crew Member are available only to pilots and limited to a few locations. National aviation organizations are commending Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman for declaring May General Aviation Appreciation Month. The governor signed the official proclamation last week. Across the state, general aviation has an annual economic impact of $721 million, and the air transportation industry supports over 5,000 jobs there. And recognizing the impact that GA has on the quality of life in Nebraska and the state's economy, Senators Mike Johanns and Ben Nelson joined the General Aviation Manufacturers Association and over 400 workers, state and local officials, and aviation enthusiasts this past weekend for a General Aviation Jobs Rally. The rally was held inside Duncan Aviation's new paint hangar at the Lincoln, Nebraska Airport. Senator Mike Johanns is the co-chairman of the Senate's General Aviation Caucus. When Aero News continues, Hawker Beechcraft had a good week in Geneva, phoning home from Virgin Atlantic, and nothing could be finer than warbirds in Carolina this Memorial weekend.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, May 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. Well, eBase was a good show for Hawker Beechcraft, which announced this past Thursday that it has secured orders for 11 aircraft, including three of its flagship Hawker 4000 super midsize business jets, a Hawker 400 XPR, six King Air 350i turboprops, and a King Air 250. The European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition, or EBACE, concluded Wednesday at Geneva's International Airport in Geneva, Switzerland. The total sales amounts to more than $120 million for Hawker, and Hawker was the leading order taker at the EBACE show. Passengers aboard Virgin Atlantic flights will soon be able to make cell phone calls and send text messages while traveling across the Atlantic, the airline has announced. Select aircraft will offer immediate availability of the service, while a total of 20 aircraft will be equipped by year's end. Partner Aero Mobile will install a Pico cell in the cabin above the heads of the passengers, which acts like a cell tower. However, there are some limitations. The system will only be able to connect 6 devices at a time, and initially, only customers of British carriers O2 and Vodafone will be able to use the service. If and when the service is adopted by U.S. carriers, it will only work with GMS phones. Virgin's system does not work with the CDMA networks used by Sprint and Verizon. So if you're a Sprint or Verizon customer, well, you're out of luck. Due to the FCC's ban on cell phone calls from airplanes, the Aero Mobile system is disabled when an aircraft is within 250 miles of the U.S. border. So maybe that call home should just wait till you're at the taxi stand anyway. The Air Force Flight Test Center Museum conducted its third annual Excellence in Aviation Awards this past weekend. Honored for excellence in space were Dr. Buzz Aldrin and Major General Joe Engel. Colonel Joe Kittinger was honored for excellence in aviation, and for excellence in aviation business, the award was presented to Mr. Delford M. Smith, owner of Evergreen International Aviation. Our congratulations to all. The commemorative Air Force's iconic Boeing B-29 Superfortress bomber, Fifi, the only remaining flying example of the aircraft in the world, is coming to the Carolinas Aviation Museum in Charlotte, North Carolina on May 25th. The B-29 will arrive along with the B-24 Diamond Lil, an equally rare World War II bomber and one of only two still flying. The Brat III, an actual combat veteran P-51 Mustang, from the Kavanaugh Flight Museum will accompany the bombers. All three airplanes will be on display at the Carolinas Aviation Museum May 25th through the 30th. If the notice is too short for you to be in Carolina, then mark your calendar for this October. For the first time in the history of Fleet Week, the Air Force F-22 Raptor will be blazing through the skies of San Francisco during the 31st Annual Fleet Week celebration, October 4th through the 7th, 2012. The FA-22 is one of the fastest jets ever to fly during Fleet Week, with top speeds of Mach 1.8, or just over 1,300 miles per hour. Along with the F/A-22 Raptor, Fleet Week's air show will feature the ever-popular and remarkable United States Navy Blue Angels, as well as the Royal Canadian Air Force CF-18 team. Well, that's all for this edition of Aero News. I'm Glenn Moyer. We thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, you're now cleared for departure.